Hi, Coach Val here. Man, here we are again. We're starting a brand new series. We've really enjoyed the several series that we've done. I can't tell you how many people love the series on the Holy Ghost, how many people just love the series that we did last time on the good old-fashioned values, and how we did the series on dealings with your feelings. Those have been great. Well, today we're going to start a brand new series on choices, learning what to choose and what's right, because you know as well as I do, we have so many doors to pick from, so many doors to choose, so many places to go, and how to manage your time, and what does the Bible say about what's important and what's not important, and what the world says is important as to what God says is important. So there's a culture clash every day that we deal with. Our soul, which is our mind, which is our heart, which is our will, is caught up between, do I choose the things of this world or do I choose the things of God? And the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And the world says ambition, drive, determination, desire, dedication, inspiration. And so what's the balance? Can we use the things of the world, that the things the world teaches, and implement them into the things of God? And what happens when we take the things of God and put them into the things of the world? So there's a lot of great things that we're going to learn today. This is going to be a four-part series. So I'd ask you, if you know anyone that is struggling with just what to choose and where to go, trying to find out who they are, trying to find out what they want to do, trying to find out what the future holds, this is a great series for them. So you could share this through Facebook Live. You could share it through all of your different friends. You can go to mychurchsa.com and go there and watch it. You can do several things. You can go to our YouTube channel and subscribe to our channel so you can get all of this, which we would love for you to have. So always firmly believe that the word is here to change you. We talked about this on Sunday in our church. We talked something very important that basically says the Bible is not for your information. The Bible is for your transformation. And don't believe that's what Jerry Bridges says this. Who was that said the other one? I can't remember who the other person was. But Jerry Bridges says, hey, don't trust your feelings and don't trust your thoughts. Stay in the Word. The Word is going to tell you what is right in your life. So as we move forward here, I pray that you can capture this, receive this, spend time with God in this and go, Lord, what changes do I need to have in my life to be the person you've called me to be? I'm called to make disciples. And as I become one, I make one. And you're called to make disciples as you become one. You become one to make one. So if I can give you this word that God has given us through so many different areas in different parts of our lives where we can study the word, I research, we do so many things here that hopefully if I can reach you with God's word, then maybe you can reach somebody in your family, someone within your job, someone who's a friend, someone that you love, someone that you're romantically attracted to and have a relationship with. As you grow together, great things are going to happen. Finally, before I get into the word, as I always do when I get online, I want to thank all of you who support our ministry. You go to our P.O. box and you can write a check. You can go to mychurchsa.com. And as you do that, you can do that and just give through online, and we really appreciate it because it allows us to continue to spread the gospel, and we love doing it. What is the gospel? The gospel is a very simple thing. It's the good news that brings great joy to all people. And what is the good news? That the holy, intimate, powerful God, that he saves sinners, which are you and me, through Christ alone. And when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, he cancels our debt, forgives us of all our sin. And that's not enough. He doesn't just forgive us of our sin. He places us by his right side and he gives us the inheritance of heaven, and all the gifts in heaven and all the blessings in heaven are given to those of us that are born sons and daughters of Adam. And then we're made sons and daughters of Christ through Jesus alone, not through anything we do. So the question is this, then why do we do good if we don't have to do good to get saved? That's the best question of all. We do good because he's done good to us. And we do good because we want to express our love and our honor and our gratitude and our loyalty to him. And that's why we walk this walk and talk this talk. And hopefully the walk and talk match. And when it doesn't, the Holy Spirit convicts us. So let's talk about the doors to choose from. There's a passage in the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, which is a great chapter, one of my favorite chapters. I think it's verse 6 that says, better one hand of tranquility than two hands of turmoil. Man, we get so caught up in doing so many things. If you're a busybody, which I know most of us are, and we're so caught up doing so many things that we're accomplishing so much because the world tells us you've got to have more, more, more. More is better, more is better. Why have one car when you have two? Why have one house when you can have two houses? Why have one wife when you can stay with one wife? Don't go to two. Stick with the one that God has given you. But seriously, when you start thinking about it, I get caught up in this rat race, and I'm sure you do too, where we have to do more to achieve more and accomplish more and draw more attention. And what I want to share with you is that's who I was in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s. I'm 57 years old. That sounds so young. I'm just kidding. And in my 50s, I wish I could go back to the person in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And I wish I could go back and tell that young man to enjoy life a little bit more. And more importantly, to just stop and smell the roses, to just stop and enjoy the moment. I was so caught up in reaching so many goals that we would reach a goal in coaching or in preaching or in ministry and anything. It's like, that's great. What's next? We got to go next. What's next? And I was a driver. And don't get me wrong, I still drive to a certain point, but not like I used to. I would get caught up in the turmoil of doing more is better. And it would, we would accomplish more. We would win more. We would achieve more. But there's a funny thing that happened in doing it though. It would burn people out and it wore people down. And even though people were winning, players and teams were winning, we weren't, I don't want to say the word having fun because that gets a little caught up in, well, you have to have fun. All you can do is have fun. That's not what I'm saying. There was a lack of peace in the middle of the victory. So there was something missing. So I think this message is going to be wonderful for you. It's been great for me, this principle of choosing tranquility over turmoil. Now, I'm not against being industrious. I'm not against working hard. I think we need to work hard. I think God has put in us this Christian ethic of hard work, and it's a good thing. We read in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs chapter 6, where it says, hey, you sluggard, you lazy individual. Hey, look at the ant. The ant works when everyone else sleeps. And he talks about how even though it has no king and it has no leader, it's constantly working. It's not what I'm referring to. Hard work is important. I'm referring to taking hard work and then applying it so much in our lives that it becomes our identity and God doesn't become our identity. And then we work so much that we lose peace and we lose the fruit of the Spirit. So I hope this helps you. I want to really help you understand the distinction between God's heart and the philosophy of this world. So when you choose, God wants you to work hard. But God wants you to have tranquility and contentment in the midst of working hard. So that's what today's message is. Let me give you some questions. One, how do you spend your free time? And what do you do that eliminates stress? I mean, that's a great place to be. Some of my buddies would have, man, if I had a fishing rod, it'd even be better. And I get it. But what do you do on your free time? Do you have free time? And do you work on your free time? Do you research on your free time? Or do you just spend time alone and just, just relax? I mean, what do you do for relaxation? As you get in your small groups, that'll be a great question for you to ask. Here's the next question, and this is, okay, this was me in my 20s, right? What's your definition of success? And if you're in your 40s or 50s, or even in your 30s, has success, the definition of success, changed from your 20s to where you're at right now? So what was your definition of success, and what is your definition of success? Now, does success make you happy? Explain. Man, if you would have asked a 20-year-old, hey, John, you're successful. Yeah, 30, you're doing great. Yeah, are you happy? Huh? Ooh, I'd be Scooby-Doo. Raggy? Am I happy? You know, happy? What is happy? It's an interesting question. So can't wait for you to get into those discussions with your friends. And here's the next one. Man, if the doctor only gave you 30 days to live, what would you change? What would you do? What would you do with your time, with your talent, and your treasure? That's a tough question. If you really knew you only had 30 days left, how would you change your life? Here's the most important question of all. How do you know that you don't have 30 days left? What if God calls you within the next 25 days? You have no clue and no idea how much time you have left. So do you live life like thinking you're going to live a long time? Or do you live life like, you know, this is my last day or this is my last week? I'm going to make sure I'm always doing things that are important. I firmly believe that your priorities will change when you understand how little time you have. And instead of being stressful, this is going to sound funny. I think you're going to be tranquil under God, under Christ. The tranquility comes when you know I've only got a certain amount of time here in this world. How do I spend it? Am I going to spend it working harder or working smarter? That's where I've transitioned in my 20s to work harder, work harder, work harder, work harder. I'm in my 50s and now it's like work smarter. And I've learned in these 30 years the distinction of the 20-year-old to the 50-year-old. I'm a lot wiser. I don't have the energy that I had, but the wisdom that I have at 50 is priceless compared to the energy that I had at 20. And maybe this will miss, I hope this message will change your life and bless you. Let me give you some quotes. I'm going to talk about greed right now. Mwai Kibaki said this, "Leadership is a privilege to better the lives of others. It's not an opportunity to satisfy personal greed." Eric Fromm says this, "Greed is the bottomless pit which exhausts the person in an endless effort to satisfy the need without ever even reaching satisfaction." Albert Einstein says this, "The three greatest forces that rule the world are stupidity, fear, and greed." Time out. Stupidity, fear, and greed. Oh my gosh, that just describes the teenage life and the teenage world that I lived in and the world that I've coached in. One of the biggest things I would try to teach my players is don't be stupid, don't be afraid, and don't try to have it all to yourself. And here we are, Albert Einstein says stupidity, fear, and greed. I think that's interesting. What are we doing in our lives right now that's, for lack of a better word, stupid? And we try to defend stupid because we don't want to admit that we're wrong. Or what's holding you back? Or what's getting you so caught up in trying to have all the marbles and keeping them all to yourself that you work yourself to the bone and trying to keep everything and grow everything and gain everything, you lose everything. Albert Einstein he's a pretty smart guy. He was a pretty smart guy. I think there's a lot that he says here that's important. I love Eric Fromm's point of, man, you're never going to reach satisfaction. Greed, man, you're going to have an endless effort to try to satisfy this need, and you're never, ever, ever going to reach satisfaction. Truth number one, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and have more of what does matter. Huh? I put this picture of this. I'm assuming he's in his 20s. I mean, that's a hard thought. Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't know if I could have been able to have received this at 20. It's better for you to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. Well, hold on for a second, coach. What does matter? Ah, you see, my friend, that is the question. What does matter? What's important? What's important to you? At the end of the day, you've got to be able to understand that quietness is more important than foolishness. And spinning your wheels, accomplishing absolutely nothing, doesn't do you any good. You've got to learn that life doesn't consist of what you have. We all have possessions, but the bigger question is this. Do possessions have you? Does God want you to have a whole lot so they can control your life? Are you doing so much and accomplishing so little, but think that the more I move and the more I do things, the more I'm active and the busier I am, the better life is going to be? I'm here to tell you this. I could go back and tell the 20-year-old of me, what are you doing? What is it that you want? God doesn't want what we have to have us. What are you trying to accomplish? What happens when you reach the mountain or you reach the top of the mountain and you reach your goal, only to find out that it was the wrong goal or you were on the wrong mountain? How many times have I shared that story? When I got to the final four thinking, this is it, it's going to be great. And I get there and it's like God says, you want it, John? Okay, go get it. Here it is. Wah, wah, wah. It didn't do anything for me. I found out that the thing that I was striving for, the thing where I put all my energy in, really didn't matter. And the things that did matter were put off to the side. And I didn't really have a great definition at age 20 of what matters and what doesn't matter. I thought success mattered. I thought fame mattered. I thought authority and power mattered. Those things were coined to me. Those things were like, this is cha-ching. This is where I'm making all my money. This is going to be wonderful. And God let me have it. And boy, did he let me have it in a very different way. It didn't matter. And I'll explain more about this. Don't confuse the things that you're pursuing with things that are important. Because what happens if what you're pursuing, you really think is important, but it really doesn't matter. Maybe your priorities are off. Mine were completely off. Mine were so off the charts where I couldn't be able to understand this point. This truth would not make any sense to me at 20. Now I'm 50 years old and 30 years of success and fame and all of that stupid stuff that used to be important at 20. At 50, I look at it and I go, it's really not that important. What? Because it doesn't matter. Because I now know what does matter. Here's the question I have for you. What is the thing that steals your joy? What is the thing that creates stress in your life? What is the thing that doesn't let you sleep at night? What's keeping you up? We're going to read the story about Jesus talking to a rich young man who kind of had it made. He had reached and accomplished so many things, but here was the problem. He was focusing his life on things that didn't matter, and he missed out on what did matter. I thank God that he didn't take my life in my 20s. He let me live to my 50s. And I pray I can live into my 60s, but that's up to him. But I know what matters. And I'm glad he didn't take me then, because what I thought mattered really doesn't matter. And if you know anyone that's dealing with this, I pray this will bless them. Then he said, Jesus, beware against, this is a command, beware against every kind of greed. He goes, this is a truth. Life is not measured. Hear me. Life is not measured by how much you own. Then he told the story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for any for all of my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and all the other goods that I possess. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, here's an emphasis. You have everything stored away for years to come. Why don't you now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry? But God said to him, you fool. Time out. Why is he a fool? He's a fool because the things that he thought mattered really don't. Watch. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you've worked for? Emphasis, because it's in orange. Here's blue, because it's truth. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Wow. Are you spending all your turmoil and all your toil and all your work and all your troubles on things that don't matter? Are you trying to establish earthly wealth here on this earth like this foolish man did? And he put everything, and your choices are, I am here to make more, accomplish more, to be more. Don't get me wrong. I think that's important in our lives, but not to the point where it costs us. What does matter? This young man put all his marbles in the wrong basket. He climbed the wrong mountain. He had the wrong goals, and he worked hard for all of it, and it's all going to be gone. Where in reality, you're a fool if you store up earthly wealth, but you're wise if you have a rich relationship with God. As I've gotten older in my 50s, this is what matters to me. The tranquility that I have with my relationship with God, regardless of what happens over here. Win or lose, succeed or fail, wealth or poverty, sickness or health, richer or poor. Sounds like a marriage, right? That is not as important as the intimate relationship that I have with God. So when I have the doors to choose which door I am going to walk into, I'm going to choose the door of tranquility. And my tranquility comes with my relationship with God. That's what I've learned at 50 that I didn't learn at 20. Let me give you some other quotes on efficiency. We've talked about greed, now we'll talk about efficiency. Stephen Covey says this, if the ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step we take just gets us to the wrong place faster. Okay, in just a second, I'm going to give you a powerful quote and give you three principles, things that I want you to take home and practice all this week and this month and this year and hopefully the rest of your life. Three practices that you can take with you to go, how can I focus on things that do matter and not on the things that don't? Covey says this, man, we've put our ladder on the wrong wall and we're climbing and we're getting further away from where we need to be. Thomas Edison says this, there's always a better way to do it. So find it. And Vance Hainer says this, our efficiency without God's sufficiency is only deficiency. That's good. So my talent without God's wisdom makes me a fool. That's basically what he's saying. Truth number two, got a lot in your life, like this young lady, let go of some of the balloons. What do I mean by that? Let go of what doesn't matter. So what does that mean? Here's the three things I want you to focus on. One, cut back on your schedule and cut back on spending. Wait a minute. Okay, so your time matters. How many times have you said yes to something just because you can say yes? Can I tell you something? Just because you can say yes doesn't mean you have to say yes. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. I want you to learn to get rid of the things that don't matter. Don't get caught up in doing more and having turmoil and choosing work, 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 work. I'm not against work. I'm all for work. We need to work and we need to do all that we can, but not at the cost of losing our tranquility. That's the choice and the balance you have to make. So if you're overworked and you're wearing yourself out over here and you're losing in the place that does matter, like your family, and your work is interfering with this, be careful what you say yes to. It's okay to say no to something. I mean, I have said no to things that were good so I can have an opportunity to say yes to what's great. And there gets a point where you have to give up the good for the great. And there comes a time you have to say no to the great to say yes to something that's the best. And as you start learning and walking through this, you're going to understand, I don't have to say yes to everything. Stop it. Stop saying yes, yes, yes. Stop overcommitting. And we want to be accepted, and I get that. It's okay to say no. But the other one is spending. Man, we buy things that we don't need. So cut off your spending. Create a budget where you're using that money not to buy things, but to create moments. I grew up with a man, my father, who's a workaholic. My dad has never taken a vacation. He doesn't know what a vacation is. When he goes out, not to vacate, not to have a vacation. He goes out to go minister to people and do that. So I grew up in that home. I'll never forget when I go to CBC and Robert Emmett says, John, you need to take a vacation or I'm going to take your 2 weeks and cut your pay on your 2 weeks vacation. What? I order you to take a vacation. Robert, what do you mean take a vacation? Take a vacation. I don't know how to do that. So I had to find friends to help me to take a vacation. And we went to New Mexico and we went snow skiing with our kids. And I'll never forget that moment. It was the first time I kind of realized this was awesome. Our kids will never forget snowing, snowboarding, snow skiing, getting on a tube and going down a hill with snow. They'd never seen snow. I'll never forget when we were driving and we came across snow. And the first time they saw it, their eyes just, we were in the car and it was the first time I've ever heard six kids silent in a car. They didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't believe it was there. What was I doing? God was showing me through another man, through Robert Emmett, learning to let go of what doesn't matter and holding on to what does. Well, then I took my wife on a vacation and we went on a cruise. And it was the best thing. Then we started going on a vacation. We go to Cabo and it's like, it's just her and I. I feel like we were teenagers all over again. And it's like, this matters. The other things, they don't matter as much. So I will ask you, look at your treasure, look at your time, value them, and cut on your spending and cut on your scheduling. I've said this many times. We spend money. We spend money, money we don't have, to try to impress people that we don't like. So we're spending, so we use a credit card and we want this, and we have all these things that we put in our house and they're really not that important anymore. So be very careful on what you do and how you spend it. Let me give you the second thing. Throw away the clutter. Huh? America is the only place where we have walk-in closets. We have to have a closet. Oh, this one's going to hurt. We have to have a closet of so many things, and we can't get rid of these things. If you haven't worn it for a year, you probably need to give it up. So if you have things in your closet that you haven't worn in a year, and you're buying more things, and you won't get rid of the things you're not using anymore, what are you doing? That stuff doesn't matter. If you haven't worn it in a year, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Give it to the homeless shelter. Give it to the women, any woman can, any baby can. Give it to people that need it because they need to dress for success or something else. Give it to a nonprofit. Let them use it however they need to use it. Why do you have to keep it if you're not wearing it? I know this is going to seem hard to understand. There was a day when in our country, there was only one closet. The good old days. No, now we replace it with walk-in closets and we don't have enough room for that. So what do? We put the extra stuff in the garage. And if we don't have room in the garage because it's cluttered, what do? We hide stuff and put stuff up in the attic. And if that's not enough, we go buy storage rooms or storage units where we can put more stuff. Can you do something that's wonderful for yourself? Can you stop focusing on things that don't matter and focus on what does matter? Can I tell you, you'll be more tranquil and more at peace when you give things away to people who need them instead of keeping them when you're not using them. How did that sound? Ouch, right? Don't live like that. Choose tranquility. Less is more. Not more is more and more is better. Less is better. I would ask you to do something this weekend. Ooh, pick 50 things in your closet, in your garage, in your attic that you're going to get rid of. And you're going to give to Goodwill. Or you're going to give to a foster home. Or you're going to give to someone in your church or someone within your community that needs it. And just give it away. And don't just give away the bad stuff. Give some of it away. You will choose tranquility and you will find out that generosity matters and greed does not. Here's the third thing I want you to do. Throw away or turn off distractions. Turn off distractions. Stop watching television. My dad used to call it el cuarto, la caja del diablo. What does that mean? It's the box of the devil. Not television, but hellavision. Stop watching hellavision. Stop watching reruns. Stop watching things that you've already seen and you know how it's going to end. Stop wasting your time on that. Stop Stop spending all your time on your cell phone and putting more apps in your cell phone. Here's a question. Can you delete some of your apps? Can you turn off some of the apps and only have all of the apps on one page, not with those little ones that you could put like 8 in one box and you got a bunch of them? Stop cluttering everything up. Get rid of the clutter. Say no to things. Throw away the clutter, cut back on the spending and the scheduling. And the other one is turn off the distractions. Stop spending so much time on social media. You're wasting your time on things that don't matter with people that aren't really that important to you. You're trying to impress people. You're trying to change people's minds in social media. Nobody gets their mind changed in social media. Not you and not me. We're just expressing what we think or what we feel. And everyone goes, I like it because we agree. And then other people don't like it and they're going to attack you and you get your feelings hurt. Stop focusing on the Xbox, on all these games. Stop focusing on your cell phone. Don't make them those things your God. You're spending time on things that don't matter. Focus on what does matter. Watch what the word says about efficiency. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, this is what the writer of Hebrews says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And then he says this, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Time out. The only way I'm going to run the race that God has given me is by getting rid of the things that aren't that important. So I've turned off the distractions and I ask you to do the same. I have thrown out the clutter and I have cut back on my spending and I've cut back on my scheduling. It's an interesting thing, right? And I think this happens as you get older. I've got a lot of friends that when in their 20s and 30s, they bought a big house. We did. And we're getting ready to finish paying off the house. And the kids are leaving and they're moving on. And now comes this downshift of going, hey, do we need to declutter? Do we need to get rid of? Do we need to stop spending so much? Do we need to downsize? And I'm here to tell you that tranquility is beautiful. I love where God has me right now. I love that I say no to things that I used to say yes to all the time. I love that the fact that I spend more time with my wife than I used to. I love the fact that I have a better relationship with my children than I had when I was busy in turmoil and trying to do more and accomplish more and achieve more and possess more. I love that. It's a great place to be. I ask that you don't wait till you're 50 to do it. If the old man, my grandbaby says, Grandpa, Pop-Pops, you an old man. If this old man could tell you something in your 30s, start practicing it now. Oh, and how much joy and peace you're going to have as you move forward. Let's run the race that God has set before us. Not the race you're running, the race he has for you. And I finish now with the third principle. We've talked about greed, which is something that, man, we obviously don't want to have. We talked about efficiency, which is learning how to throw things away. Now we'll talk about commitment. There are only two options regarding commitment. You're either all in or you're all out. Pat Riley, who's won many world championships. Tony Robbins says this, stay committed to your decisions, but stay flexible to your approach. So, hey, I'm sticking with this. If you're going to change anything, change the plan, but stay on task. Don't let go of what you've said yes to. And then Lou Holtz says this, if you don't make a total commitment to whatever you're doing, watch this, then you start looking to bail out the first time the boat starts to sink. So instead of jumping out when the boat sinks, fix it. That's commitment. Truth number three that I close with today is this, put on your gloves and fight for what does matter. You will never fight for what does matter if you don't know what matters. If you get focused on the things that don't matter, you'll never fight for what matters because you're too busy chasing what doesn't matter. I know what's important in my life in my 50s. I wish I did in my 20s and in my 30s. And I might even go in my 40s. But it's a very interesting thing where God has me now. I've told you I've had a lot of success. I've been in a big program where I was offered a phenomenal job at Duncanville with two times, which was great. And to go out and achieve that, and we had success in Madison, but to go to Duncanville, man, to be the best program in the nation and try to achieve that. What would have happened if I would have got that? I don't know. I don't know how successful it would have been, but I don't know how much of a failure I would have been. I would have put all my energy and all my time on trying to be number one in the nation, that I wouldn't have been number one in my kids' lives. You can ask my children when the cold front comes in, they know, oh, daddy's going to get in coach mode. He's going to spend a lot of time coaching. We're never going to see him. Dad will see you in February. Hope you win, pop-pops, daddy, because if you win, then you're happy and then we're happy. But if you lose and you're spending all this time and you're not spending time with us, it's not going to be a happy home. You and mom are going to fight. I used to be in that. I was focusing on what didn't matter, and I wasn't fighting for what did matter. I'm speaking to every one of you here. If you're replaceable, that's the place that doesn't matter. And I'm talking about your job. You know, when you leave your job, when you get fired, when you retire, or when you get promoted or move on to something else, they'll replace you pretty fast. And you know what's going to happen? The company's going to keep moving on and it's going to keep going. And you're going to learn a very important lesson. You've put all your energy in what didn't matter. I'm not saying it's not important to put that energy. You need to. I'm not saying for you to not do anything. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is don't get so caught up in something that doesn't matter and put all your marbles, the place that you're irreplaceable, and miss out on what does matter. The places that you're irreplaceable, those are the places that matter. Your marriage matters. You're irreplaceable as a wife and you're irreplaceable as a husband. Your children matter. You're irreplaceable as a mom and you're irreplaceable as a dad. When we try to fill that role with another person, it doesn't work. We try to do the best we can, but how many times when it comes right down to it, when the rubber meets the road, they want their real dad or their real mom, or you wish you and your wife would have made it, or you go pursue something else and you find out you have different problems, or maybe it's the same problem that you had with your first marriage or your second marriage or your third marriage. You're spending too much time on what doesn't matter. Fight for what does matter. I will tell you, CBC was a great place for me. It's a community Bible church, big church here in San Antonio. It was wonderful for me. It taught me a lot of things. But I'll tell you, the one thing that it did for my home, unintentionally, this was me. It wasn't the church. I was spending more time in the church and less time at home. And here I was spending more time in coaching and less time at home. And my wife had to be the father and the mother at the house all by herself while I was over here doing all these things. And how was Roseanne going to say no? Well, John, look at all that God's doing in the life of a lot of people. And look at what's happening with you in the basketball program. You're successful. You go do that. I've got this. The problems it created at home were difficult. You know what happened? When I left CBC, guess what? I was replaced. When I left Madison, guess what? I was replaced. They were important, but they didn't matter as much as my family did. And now I'm in a smaller church. I'm in a smaller school. I'm not coaching in front of 1,000 people. I'm coaching in front of 100 people. The church where I'm at and my church, there's not 10,000 people every Sunday. There's right now with COVID, there's 150. But you know what? There's tranquility in my life. Because I chose tranquility instead of turmoil. I pray that as you move forward in your life, that you choose to walk through the door that brings tranquility in your life. When you fight for what does matter, and when you let go of what doesn't matter, you'll work smarter, you won't work harder, you'll focus on what's important, and everyone else will have peace in their lives. Look at what Paul writes to Timothy. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all of these evil things. Instead, pursue what does matter. Pursue righteousness. Pursue a godly life. Fight for faith, for love, for perseverance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. To me, that matters. My God matters. My family matters. My work, my job are important, but they don't matter more than them. If my time is more with them than with my job than with my family, I've got to do all that I can to cut some spending, cut my scheduling, throw away the clutter, to do those things. And as you start doing those things, you're going to do so much. When I stop watching TV or spending time on little games in my apps, and I spend more time looking at my grandchild or my kids and loving them, there's tranquility. There's not turmoil. Last two questions. What do you need to cut back on? What do you need to throw out? And what do you need to turn off in your life? That's a great conversation you're going to have in your small group. And here's the last one. Why do we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like? Oh, that card. Oh, that card will put you in debt. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking emotionally. I'm talking within your family. Let's focus on what does matter. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that we know that you matter. You matter to us, and our family matters to us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you help us to walk towards tranquility. Nothing wrong with hard work and industriousness, but not at the price of tranquility. I choose tranquility, and I pray that we choose tranquility over working hard and going nowhere. Lord, help us to get rid of things that don't matter. Help us to reevaluate ourselves so we can run the race that you have set before us. Help us to throw away the things that slow us down and the sin that trips us up. Lord, help us to make our commitments and keep our commitments. Lord, help us to walk away from the greed and the possessions, because those aren't important to us. Lord, remove the stupidity, the fear, and the greed in our lives, and replace it with the faith, with the love, and with the joy that only you can give us, and the hope that comes from you. I pray that in Jesus' name. As you move forward in this new series, we'll learn how to walk the way we're called to walk, the way we're called to live, the choices we're called to make that bring tranquility in our life. And as you do that, I promise you, you're going to do three things. I know you're going to fight the good fight. I know you'll finish the race. And I do not have a doubt that you'll keep your faith.